All right, folks, we are back with another episode of the MOA broadcast. We've got all kinds of good information for us today, so we're going to get right into it. Picking up where we left off last week. So if you caught last week's episode, and this has been all over the news anyway, you recall that the AP, the Associated Press, has been, deadlocked in a battle of wills with the White House, and particularly President Trump, it seems. President Trump, when he took office, and again, just to preface all this, we are apolitical here. We're not going to get into the political side of things, but we do discuss current events. And right now, a lot of those events happen to be in the political realm. So we're not going to inject our opinions. We're going to do what the news used to do, which is just give you the information, and then you can draw your own conclusions. So, that being said, as of last week, the AP refused to recognize the fact that President Trump had renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Now, this is something that he legally is allowed to do or has the authority to do, and he did this in conjunction or cooperation with the Department of the Interior. So he renamed it the Gulf of America. The Associated Press refused, for whatever reason, to recognize this. And so they were not allowed to come in for certain press briefings until they decided to change their mind and address it by the name it is legally now known by in the United States, which is Gulf of America. Google Maps, Apple Maps, and other online maps providers followed suit and began listing it as the Gulf of America. But for some reason, the AP refuses to do so. So President Donald Trump said Tuesday that he will continue to restrict the Associated Press access to his events and news conferences until the news outlet goes along with his renaming of the Gulf of Mexico in its reports. Now, specifically, they are banned from the Oval Office and Air Force One. They are still allowed to go into the White House, apparently, and have their, you know, press pass or whatever it is that they call it there to get clearance to get inside the White House, but they're not allowed into certain press briefings. According to Trump, we are going to keep them out until such time as they agree that it's the Gulf of America, Trump said, speaking to reporters who witnessed the signing of an executive order at Mar-a-Lago, his Florida estate. We're very proud of this country, and we want it to be the Gulf of America. This was the first time the president directly addressed this after two journalists from the AP were denied entrance to Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday. There was a press conference. There was a press conference in Mar-a-Lago or whatever it was on Tuesday. The AP reporters were not allowed inside. They had to watch a live television feed of Trump's remarks and were unable to ask questions. They were put on detention, apparently. The AP has framed this dispute as a First Amendment issue, but Trump's team says access to its events is a privilege extended by invitation, and that while the AP is still permitted on White House grounds, it no longer has the right to be part of pools that cover events where space is limited, such as the Oval Office and Air Force One. So, I mean, when I look at this news report, it seems like maybe we're spending an inordinate amount of time on such a simple thing, but I don't know what the Associated Press, politics aside, forget that, what does the AP hope to gain by getting locked into a battle of wills with a president that has shown for decades, before he was even in the Oval Office, that he's not inclined to back down from things? So I don't really see what the AP stands to win from this. And so far, they have lost their access to the Oval Office and Air Force One for press briefings. So, which means someone else has taken that place. The space they formerly occupied has now been given to someone else. So I don't know what they really stand to gain out of this and why they've dug their heels in so deeply. But we are committed to accurate and current reporting. So as of now, they are banned from those areas. We will keep you updated if there are any developments in this. All right, moving on to our next report, we go to New York. New York City, what has become of you? A man says he was beaten with his own baseball bat on a subway in A man says he was beaten with his own baseball bat, and I'm not laughing at this poor man. No disrespect to him. He went through it. We'll get to that here momentarily. on a subway in Soho early Monday morning. Soho stands for South of Houston Street. So this is Lower Manhattan. This is kind of an artsy-fartsy area. Lots of nice dining shops, all kinds of interesting things. But this was at 1 a.m. So what happened? The victim told the news that the attack came out of nowhere, and they are still looking for the suspect. Jarrett Adorno, 25, says a fun night out in the city with his friends turned to horror on the 4 train as he was heading home around 1:30 a.m. Monday. When the train stopped at Spring Street, another man got on, and Adorno says by the time the doors closed, the man had grabbed a plastic baseball bat from Adorno's backpack and started hitting him in the face. We don't know why exactly. Although the suspect demanded his belongings, Adorno says he managed to get away once the train doors opened at the Bleecker Street station. So for at least several long seconds or a minute or three, he was fighting this man who had taken his own plastic baseball bat away from him and started to beat him about the face with it like an enraged Jose Canseco attack gone awry. I had blood just stained all over here on the side of my face. My jacket was covered in blood. He just started going for it. I'm over here blocking, doing the best I can. Adorno was transported to a nearby hospital, was left with bruising and swelling about the head, a broken nose, and dozens of stitches throughout his face. Let's see if we've got a picture. Let's go to the MOA computer here. My goodness. This poor guy, he's in the photograph here. Let's see if we can. I mean, he's got his nose bandaged. Both eyes are swollen, totally shut. His forehead is swollen. There are bruises and cuts all over his face. This guy, the attacker, did a number on this poor man who was apparently just minding his own business. New York, okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Adorno was transported to a nearby hospital, left with bruising and swelling, a broken nose, doesn't, okay. I didn't sustain any hemorrhaging in the brain, so I'm just happy about that. I feel like I had an angel on my side, Adorno said. Now that he can finally open his right eye, he said the internal swelling has gone down. Doctors anticipate he will make a full recovery. So far, no arrests have been made. Despite this brazen, now, this is the interesting thing about statistics. Despite this brazen attack, NYPD data shows transit crime, crime that takes place on MTS, they call it, or they used to call it, Metro Transit Authority. The MTA is the public transportation system in New York. Now, surprisingly, it is quite good. The coverage there is rather amazing for a city of that size and that many people. If you are taking MTA in New York City, there are very few places you can't get really close to, either with a train or a train followed up by a bus ride and then being dropped, usually within a few blocks. Most of the city has really, really well, very good coverage. It's very well covered in the city there. So their MTA, at least it used to be, was very good as far as coverage. Now they say their transit crime is down 6% from this time last year. Now, here's the funny thing about statistics. Unless this particular man was attacked violently and assaulted last year, while transit crime itself may be down 6%, for him, it is up 100%. So, you know, there's an old saying, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And that's what we see here. I'm not saying that the NYPD, their data is lying, but you got to put it in the context, the perspective of what has happened to you. This poor guy was just riding the bus home or the train home, and all of a sudden he's getting violently beaten down with a baseball bat for no apparent reason. The guy tried to rob him. He didn't give up his goods. He managed to escape, fortunately, when he got off at the Bleecker Street station and made it to street level. There was a cop car not too far away, so he was able to report it. But unfortunately, this guy has not been apprehended. He got off near Spring and Prince Street. Well, that it's unfortunate that he was going through such a difficult time where he was, because Prince Street Pizza is there. I have never had the opportunity to go, but I left New York right around the time, or visited a number of times, right around the time they were opening. they have square pies. So, well, let's just get into that. If you've never been to New York, New York is an amazing place. I don't know what it's, let me rephrase that. It was an amazing place. From everything I've seen on the news and everything that I've spoken with people that still currently live there, it's almost a disaster zone, like in the movie Escape from New York. If you're not familiar with the movie Escape from New York, probably one of Kurt Russell's best motion pictures, insofar as just being a lot of fun and adventure and entertaining. He plays this, essentially for the purposes of this context, he's a mercenary. The president of the United States, his plane goes down. New York at this time, this was one of those 80s, like apocalyptic style movies by John Carpenter, the director. And New York has been, because Manhattan is an island, it's been basically fenced off, it's been isolated, and Manhattan is a prison. So the worst of the worst go to Manhattan, and they're dumped there, and they're just left to rule and to exist amongst themselves, and whoever is strongest wins and survives. And so Kurt Russell, the president's plane goes down, he has some top secret information, and he's got to go to some world summit to, you know, do his thing as president, and Kurt Russell has to go in there and rescue him. So, but the whole thing is New York is just this hellscape of a nightmare. There's violent crime, freaks, and all this kind of crazy. It's a pretty entertaining movie. But that's almost what New York City is like now. I was just watching a video the other day in New York City in broad daylight. There was this guy who was walking around buck naked with a metal pole of some sort, and he was just attacking people. It's probably during the daytime, it's in the teens, 20s, it's freezing there, maybe 30s during the daytime. It looked pretty cold on this day, judging by what people were wearing. And this guy is walking around buck naked and beating people with a stick. I mean, what in the world? New York used to be this amazing place. To me, coming from the Midwest, one of the things that stuck out to me the most, because in the Midwest, your population is fairly homogenous. It's almost all white people for the most part, and white culture and white food. So when you get to New York, you see an astonishing amount of diversity you've never seen before if you're from, you know, the country in the Midwest like I was. You go there, and to me, one of the things that stuck out to me the most were the lines of demarcation. Neighborhoods were, it was almost like when you crossed over one block into another, you could just, it was a totally different neighborhood from crossing one side of the street to the other. You could be going along in a Puerto Rican neighborhood, and then you would go a couple of blocks, cross over the, you know, cross the crosswalk or the sidewalk or the street or whatever. Then you're in an Italian neighborhood. And then a couple of blocks, you'd be in a Jewish neighborhood. And there were, the culture was so strong and unique to each neighborhood. It was like each little neighborhood was its own little city or country. If you were in a Jewish neighborhood, you wanted to go to the bakeries and you wanted to go to the delis and get a Reuben sandwich or corned beef or pastrami, probably not corned beef, but pastrami, and all the other things that they would have in a Jewish deli. The food was delicious. In certain neighborhoods, you would want to get a Cuban coffee. You go to Italian neighborhoods and you want to get, you know, stromboli or calzones or pizza or whatever the case may be. But it was just amazing the amount of diversity and the way it was divided up in New York City. Now, I have no idea what the city is like as far as all that, but we know from what we see on the news that there is a tremendous increase in crime and all kinds of other problems, so it's a real shame. That being said, before we get too far off track, what do we learn from this gentleman's case? Poor Mr. Adorno, that was attacked with his own baseball bat. Situational awareness. That's what this really comes back down to again. Now, I'm not saying this guy did anything wrong. He may have done everything right. Sometimes, I mean, I've been on the train in New York. When those doors close, man, it's game on. Sometimes it's like the Thunderdome in there. Many times there are no problems at all. You take your ride and it's no big deal. Once those doors close, though, anything can and probably will happen depending on the neighborhood and the time of day. Situational awareness, though, we've discussed this before. What is the point? Situational awareness is not just being aware of your surroundings. It's seeing problems before they manifest themselves. Okay? You see, okay, something's coming up here. Oh, this guy coming up. Like you could usually, not always, but usually you could tell, or many times you could tell when somebody was getting ready to board the train, because when you're sitting on the train, you usually have your earphones on or you're reading something or whatever else. But when you would pull into the train stop, at least I would, you would always be scanning all the people as the train pulls in. You pass all these people standing there on the platform waiting to get on. And you're looking, okay, that person looks like a problem. That one doesn't. That may be a threat. And you're trying to identify these threats and problems before those doors open. Because once the doors open and people rush in, the doors close. Then you're locked in there until the next station. And I'm telling you from experience, a lot can happen from one station to the next. So situational awareness would be the thing to hopefully see this coming, either create distance. Your first goal in a situation like that is going to almost always be to create distance, meaning get some space between you and the other person. I don't know what happened here. And again, we're not knocking the poor guy that got beat down, because the picture of this guy, he got brutalized, just brutalized. But it's possible, again, the story doesn't go into detail. It's possible he may have been more aware of what's going on and may have been able to prevent the situation or create some distance or maybe exit the car or change cars before this happened. And he was brutally beaten for no reason at all. We're glad he made it out okay. The other thing is everyone, especially in Midwestern and Southern states, they always say, well, the Second Amendment or, me carrying this, that, and the other. Firearms aren't always an option for a lot of people for a number of reasons. And the other thing is you got to remember that firearms, if you use a firearm, that's your business, not mine, you're going to have some legal issues that go along with it afterwards. That's a rather final solution to certain problems. Pepper spray is almost universally accepted, and you obviously have to check your local laws. There are some places that frown upon it, but pepper spray is a great option if your laws allow it, because at the end of the day, everybody goes home alive. So we'll get more into that later, but pepper spray is a good one. If you have it, you should definitely familiarize yourself with it. It has a different level of effect on certain people and animals. I've had to use here where I live in the hills of Oregon, I've gone through several cans of pepper spray in the last couple of years due to stray dogs attacking me while I'm walking my dog. Most dogs do not like having pepper spray used on them, and they typically tend to run away and leave you alone, and they tend to remember it the next time you come around. Sometimes they, other dogs are affected less by it, but the important thing is situational awareness and have a plan. Be prepared before it comes to some guy disarming you with your own baseball bat and brutalizing you with it on the 4 train. Okay, one more story before we get to the break. This time we go yet again to Florida. We'll just call him Andre, 20, dressed up with an FBI jacket and body armor when he visited a haunted house in Seminole. That is, let's see, we are, yes, in Seminole. According to a police report, the Florida man was armed with a black airsoft handgun that resembled a Glock handgun. While walking through the haunted house, Andre turned the corner to where the host of the house was standing. The host was in a costume but wasn't part of the role-playing at the time of the incident. Before he knew what happened, Andre pulled his gun from his holster and began to pistol whip him with the handle of the gun repeatedly, hitting him just under his eye, causing significant injury. Now imagine this. You're just some guy doing a free haunted house in your local neighborhood in Seminole, Oregon. I think that's near Clearwater. Okay. Actually, I think it's about 35-40 minutes west of Tampa. In mid-Florida. You're just doing a haunted house, and all of a sudden some guy flips out, pulls out an airsoft gun, and starts pistol whipping you for no reason. After the pistol whipping was completed, the man told the victim that he thought he was a statue. He refused to apologize, and then he laughed and ran out of the house. The victim chased him out of the house to prevent him from leaving. The sheriff's office listed the charges as aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and added a felony because he was wearing a bulletproof vest. Apparently in Florida, maybe elsewhere, I have no idea, it's against the law to commit violence to another person while wearing a bulletproof vest. The victim was treated by EMS for bleeding under his eye. Wow, Florida continues to amaze. Okay, we are going to take a break. After the break, we're going to get into the 10 C's of survival. We teased this last week. We're going to get deeper into it after the break. More Make It Out Alive with Sam Wilson after this.